What an amazing journey it's been, and I think it's only going to get more amazing as time goes on. Before I go any further today, I have to welcome some very special guests that are visiting us. You will know that last year we went to Malaysia as the pastoral team to go to a conference and also to meet people, and we were hosted by Glory Christian Center in Kota Kinabalu, and they did such an amazing job of hosting us. They really did, and I wish we'd known you were here or coming here so we could have hosted you better, really. But welcome Lily, Alan and Jordan. Thank you for coming and visiting us, and you came at our birthday party, so that's wonderful. Oh yes. Well, send our regards to Pastor William Vaughan and Dr. William Vaughan and the team and Pastor Andrew and everybody. We miss them very much. But that's wonderful. And you know, and guys, I reckon, you know, it's so exciting to be alive today. I think it really is. You know, we were talking about what should our theme of our birthday party be. And we said, let's celebrate what God started 7 years ago. But then when we were talking about that, we sort of couldn't come to an agreement on what the definition of that was. Exactly what it was that started 7 years ago. Because for those of you who don't know, one church got its name because it was three churches in the same area that joined to become one church. So it's sort of hard to say what was it that started 7 years ago. But you know what, in actual fact, the truth of it all, the reality of it all, is it was all birthed thousands and thousands of years ago. It wasn't actually birthed 7 years ago. We're just celebrating the actual 7 years on our timeline. And so, you know, that's really wonderful. We want to celebrate our story today because it's important to celebrate, to turn back and say, look what God has done. You know, we need to do that. We need to be grateful. We need to just turn around and just go, yeah, stop every once in a while and just go, wow, God, you are amazing. We need to. It's just, it's important, isn't it? Hallelujah. But you know something, here's the truth. I think, you know, it's our tradition. We normally do this on a birthday Sunday where we go back and we celebrate what's happened just in the last year. And I was preparing for this week, and I was praying about this week, and I was talking to people this week. And you know what came to my mind is that if we just focus on what God is doing in our midst, we miss a large part of what He's doing in our midst. Does that make sense? Let me say that again. If we just focus on what God is doing in our midst, we miss a large part of what God is doing in our midst. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, hopefully it will do. Because it's all about perspective, isn't it? Let me ask you a question. Who here enjoys a good story? I reckon you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who doesn't like a story. And you know, all good stories, they have the same things, don't they? They have a hero, they have a villain, they have good, they have evil, they have a love story component, they have action. There's like always tension. There's an obstacle to overcome. There's moral dilemmas. There's tragedy and loss. There's sacrifice and victory. That's all good stories have it, isn't it? You know, and like we as humans, we can't get away from it. We love stories. And you know what I've noticed is that stories always end with a happy ending, don't they? Because they, like, bad things can happen, but like we don't accept that as being the end. Could you imagine going to see a movie that went for like half an hour because, you know, in one of the big fight scenes, the goodie cops a stray bullet and that's the end of the story, and the movie finishes with the baddies going on business as usual. Could you imagine that kind of a story? You'd sit there and go, what? I want my $10 back. You know, like, that's ridiculous. No, because we know and we need a good resolution, don't we? And you ever wonder why that is? Like, why as humans we're like that? I believe it's because we are living in a story just like that. We're living in that story. And we know that it's going to have a happy ending. You can read about this story right in here. We live. OCP is one part of that story. OCP is one part, one chapter of that story. You are one character in that story. I am one character in that story. And so, you know, let's celebrate a little bit about what God has done and what he's doing and how much he's just worthy of our praise and worthy of our trust moving forward. Because to celebrate the past is also to celebrate the future too, you know. You know, the truth is the day that my life truly gained meaning was the day I realized that I am not the main character of the story. Changed my perspective on everything. I was living my life like I was the main character. And I realized that, no, actually, I am just one of the characters in the greatest story ever told. The only one that matters, the one that gives all the rest of the meaning. You know, and I have a part to play in that. And that should be a wonderfully liberating reality. And when you start to see things like that, God starts to change your perspectives on things. He starts to change your priorities. He starts to change your goals on things. And you realize that you can do so much more than you ever imagined possible with your life. You can experience more. You can, you know, you can just help more. You can be, you can have a place in the history books, you know, like heaven's history books. You know, this really excites me. I really hope that when we get to heaven, that they have some kind of a Netflix sort of a system. I'm serious, where we can sit and we can watch everybody's story. And every church, every movement, everything that God has done on the earth, I want to watch it. And I want to see it. And I want to understand. And I hope we get the behind the scenes stuff, because at the moment I only have 5 organs that can tell me about the reality: my eyes, my ears, my nose, my mouth, and my skin. But there's so much more to reality, and we know that, don't we? And we don't have the organs necessarily to sensitively understand it, but there is a war happening all around us at any given time, isn't there? You know, I read in Daniel. And I see Daniel is a man who's praying and he's asking for an answer. And it took 21 days of fasting and the angel got to him and says, I was dispatched the first day, but I was held up by the prince of Persia. Imagine being Daniel going, what the heck? Imagine having an answered prayer like that. An angel saying, sorry, I was late. I was fighting for 21 days straight with the principality. That still happens today. Doesn't it excite you that, I mean, I really hope that we get to do that in heaven. Maybe not sitting on the couch, you know, in my PJs with some potato chips and a blanket watching Netflix, but some kind of thing where we can just revel in, celebrate all the great things, the victories that God has won from the beginning of time until now. It excites me, it really does. And, you know, what's important about it is if we've got to understand that God has been at this since the start. You know, and why I'm saying this is when I say if we just focus on OCP and our history and what's happened, we missed out on so much of what God's done, even to us. Because the greatest story in the world goes like this: God, the God of the universe, the creator of everything, created humankind to love and to cherish and to show immeasurable kindness to, Ephesians tells us. And then tragedy strikes. He'd given us a world to enjoy, to look after, and we were deceived, and we ruined everything. And everything that's happened since then until now is the story of God pursuing his beloved and trying to get back what he lost. That is the story. That is the story. That is everything. And every human being, whether they realize it or not, fits into that story somewhere. And when I read this Bible, and I read this story, and I see God, I get so encouraged and so terrified at the same time of this awesome God. I love him, and he loves me, and I'm safe, and I know that. but terrified in just how awesome he is and the things he does to make sure that he will get his beloved back. And the reason this is important is because OCP, we fit into that. Everything we do, everything we are, everything we believe, all the journey, all the stuff we do, all the things we pray for fits into that journey. And I hope today, what I hope you get away from this before we go and eat some cake is that God is amazing, God is in control, and God has, like, he's going to do what he's going to do. You know, I see that God, in order to see his purposes fulfilled, let me read these because I've got slides. He is not scared of splitting a sea to make it happen. He's not scared of throwing fireballs to make it happen. He's not scared to push back the sun to get part of his job done. He stops at nothing. He can feed 5,000 people with a couple of bits of bread and some fish. He can cease the rain for 3 years if he wants to. He can send a flood if he wants to get our attention. God is amazing. God goes, I will get you back. I will get you back. Even if I have to hit the reset button, I will get you back. Start again from Noah. You know, it amazes me when I read Genesis and I see that even after the reset button was hit and Noah's family started all over again, 340 years later, humans are back at it again. We're going to build a tower so big and so wonderful so we can say that we don't need God. And you know what God says? He doesn't, you know what, I probably would lose my temper. He didn't. He goes, I can't just keep hitting the reset button on this thing. I've got to think of a new plan. So he goes, tell you what, I'm going to separate you. Kids, over here with you, you can't speak to each other either. Starts again. He picks one man. He picks Abram. He says, I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to bring back my plans and my purposes. I'm going to make a way through you. You know, if you read this book and you see a lot of times there's a lot of lineages. Have you ever wondered that? That's God showing off. It really is. It's God showing off because what he's saying is, I got it right with this person, 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 this person. And actually, I actually even got it right with the mum side of things. This person, this person, this person, this person, this person. Everything that happened, happened and I made it happen. And we got Jesus at the end of it. You see, God did everything he could do to get us there. And then when there was one thing left to do, he did it. He became a man. He lived on this planet. And he died so that we could be rescued. That is the most amazing end to a story. You know, well, end to the story. That means we're living in the sequel now, I suppose. But what an amazing thing. You know, if you've ever watched movies, you know what it's like to sort of watch the hero, you know, sacrifice himself for the greater the good and everybody's saved and everyone's a little bit sad, but everyone's like, what a man, what a woman, what a hero. You know, God did that. And, you know, the reason why we appreciate that as human beings, I think, is because that is the story we live in. You ever wonder why you think good things are good and why bad things are bad? Because God put that in you, man. The reason why you need happy endings to sort of close a story is because that is what you live in. So here's the thing. What are we celebrating today? We're celebrating Jesus. We absolutely are. And I just want to say that, like, we could do what we normally do and just go back and list all the great things that's happening in OCP, through Hope WA, through OCN, through I-60, through all of those things. And there's so much to point to. There really is so much to point to. Through intercessors' notes, through praise reports, through text messages, we could tell you some of the amazing things, and we will in times to come. God is doing incredible things with this church. He is. But what's even more exciting is that it's not just with us. This is the thing that really gets me excited, the reason why I'm so excited to be alive today. It is an incredible, incredible time to be alive. And, you know, when the history books are written in heaven and we're watching Netflix, I'm going to be happy that I'm part of this time. I really am. Because this is what I believe. I firmly believe that we are in the midst of the biggest revival of all time. And I'm not just saying that to be sensational. This has been prophesied by God's prophets. That in this time, the biggest revival the world has ever seen would start in Australia and be spread out across the world. The late, like turn of the century and even now. And I have to tell you, church, that this is what I can see. If I look with eyes that can see eternity, this is what I see. I see men and women of God. I see ministers laying down their ministry more and more and saying, we want to work together. We want to be effective. We want to extend the kingdom of God. That is something that was not the case some time ago. If anything, the church was known for being its own worst enemy. Seven churches on the same street and all of us fighting against each other. Ridiculous. So what happened though? Why did it change? I believe because God, the Spirit of God is moving and active in the world today. And he's getting everything back the way it needs to be. It's his final hour. He's just setting up for his master stroke. You know, and I'm like so excited. I watch a lot of stories. I read, you know, I'm like, I love these things. I get so excited for the build up, the suspense, and then just the masterful way in which it all comes together. And this is the time we live in. This is the time we live in. We see it. We see more and more men and women laying down their fealty to different things and saying, I want to follow God. We're seeing the rise of the prophetic gift, the apostolic reformation, the rise in intercession and houses of prayer all over the world. Incense going up. We're seeing this happen more and more and more in the world. We live in exciting times. We really do. We're seeing Christians go into every sphere of community. Successful, God-appointed men and women of God. Daniel's going out into the business, into the government, into the education arenas, into family, into finance, into every corner of culture. We're seeing men and women raise up and sort of say, I know what to do. God has told me what to do. I need to do this. Not just a vague, I'm going in there and we'll see what happens, but actually with a mission. We're seeing God set it up for his masterstroke. And so what are we celebrating today, church? We're celebrating 7 years since God chose a people to look after this patch of land, these airwaves, and this community to come together in the opposite spirit. Do you know we used to be called the church graveyard up this way? Because churches would come, they would start, they would split, and they would die. That's what used to happen. And so what was birthed in 7 years ago was something that was in the complete opposite spirit. To say, we're not going to split, we're actually going to join together. And we're going to make it work. And everybody said, you can't do it. Amalgamations don't work. They're messy. It won't work. And we have to do what the Lord tells us to do. So we celebrate the fact that this God said to us, you're the northern gatekeepers in this city. Extend the kingdom of God here. And we said, what do we do? He says, go feed the sick. Go feed the hungry. Go visit the sick. Go give water to the thirsty. Clothe the naked. Go and preach my gospel. And above all else, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Clean up this area. You want my presence? You've got to pray. You want to see change? You've got to pray. And we celebrate the journey that we have got from where we started in three different homes, I believe. You know, we were the Mission, North Shore, and Dream Life, or Beachside, or whatever it started. One of them started in my parents' home. One of them started in Paul and Trisha's home. One of them started in a pastor named Richard Stahl's home. All those years ago. And then bit by bit by bit, just things started happening. And you know, like, this is the amazing thing about when you give the glory to God for these things and not try and take them for yourself, is that it couldn't have possibly have been the brainchild of any human being, the way things have gone, the way things are moving. And we're sitting in a building today, which started off, as something that was happening in people's living rooms. We're seeing people, we send missionaries to different countries full time. We're sending missionaries like local in the region. We're seeing people like missionaries in our local community going out, helping, serving food, helping with people. We're seeing people go into their workplaces and take the gospel, the kingdom of God with them. One church, what we're celebrating today is that, I'm going to say this, and it's just going off track a little bit. The reason I'm so excited about I-60 going into Kalgoorlie, I'll just give you one quick story because I didn't want to make the whole morning about just talking about what's going on, because I want it to be about what God is doing in the world. But one quick story about what's so exciting. Many of you know that God gave us an instruction and just the word about the revival is going to start with the Aboriginal people. And so for a long time we've been praying about that, and Pastor Trisha's been going, and she's been she's had her own prayer assignments, pushing into that. This is how God works, and this is why I say I'm just waiting to see what his masterstroke is, because the story of how I-60 got into Kalgoorlie in the first place is an incredible one. That was on nobody's horizon. Nobody saw that coming, and God got people in there. But what's so encouraging is that Pastor Trish reports back that the ministers in Kalgoorlie are agreeing that this will be the place where the Aboriginal Reformation starts. I think that's incredible. Like, God is connecting the people who he's had working on an assignment to the place where the assignment is, where they believe the assignment is going to start. The Reformation is going to start. I got a text message the other day, just as a bit of a praise report. Can I read that out? Just, that's fine. Let me just read something out to you. I don't have my phone on me. I'm going to have to paraphrase. Essentially, there was a ceremony, and an Aboriginal elder in Kalgoorlie was explaining. That Kalgoorlie means Kakula, which means the place of the silky pear. Okay? Our old bush tucker, Aboriginal food. And the silky pear hasn't grown there for years and years and years and years. This week, the first silky pear in I don't know how long grew on a tree in Kalgoorlie. And, you can look at that however you want, but this is what I see when I choose to see the good report, when I choose to look with eyes of faith, look at the milk and honey. This is what I see. God knows what he's doing. God says, Trish, I've got an assignment for you. Go and pray for the Aboriginals. Go and cleanse the sites. Go and do what you've got to do. Trish is busy doing that, and we've been busy. We've been in Badgerling. We've made friends with Pastor Murray Aaron, Pastor Peter Compton, etc. We've been busy with that. Meanwhile, this is happening. So we don't even know about this, but this is all happening. The pastors and the ministers in Kalgoorlie are saying, Lord, what are we doing? And God says, you are going to be the place where it starts. And then through almost like this thing, God goes, I just need to sort of move this person into this job and then move this over here. And, look over here, there's a need. And then we've connected those two together. All of a sudden, we've got OCP people flying in to Kalgoorlie to be a part of what's happening there. What really excites me, church, if I could just brag about you for one moment, is OCP people, where they go, they take the kingdom of God with them. And you may not even realize it, but I recognize it. I recognize it when I hear you talking to each other. I recognize it when I go to men's occasionally and I sit there and I hear the topics of discussion and I hear the responses. I'm so excited because the apostolic prophetic reformation is on you, church. I'm not saying it's not on other people too, but I'm saying I know it's on you. So the real thing that excites me about this is watching God's master plan unfold. We're in exciting times, church. We really are in exciting times. So what are we celebrating today? We're celebrating Jesus. We're celebrating what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to continue to do. We're celebrating family. Guys, we're family. You know, the picture board over there, when I was looking through those photos, I just saw so many people who have come and gone and along the way, and people who are still here, and people who've, you know, and just, you know, they all still feel like my family. That we all had that thing where we were a part of this journey together. You know, and we can't get away from that because we don't have the same last names, but we all have the same dad, don't we? So we're celebrating all these things today. I don't have a challenge for you. I could go down that road, but I'm choosing not to. Because I just want to bless you, church. I want you to be encouraged today. And I want you, if you have been looking around and maybe you've been discouraged in times past, because, you know, we're in winter. It gets cold, doesn't it? And we get tired and it gets dark. And just as our bodies and our natural senses feel it, we have seasons in the spirit too, don't we? And, if you've been discouraged in recent times, if you've been like heavy, if you've been looking for a way out or whatever, be encouraged, guys. Steel yourself, strengthen yourself, and sow seeds into spring. That's what you need to do. Now, I'm challenging you, but you need to sow those seeds in this season. Start to believe the good report. Scrutinize the bad report, not the good one. When the bad report comes, go, oh yeah, but, oh yeah, but, oh yeah, but. Not when the good report comes, don't go, oh yeah, but, you know. Choose your heart position. Sow the seeds. We'll pull out of it. It'll be spring. Spring is coming. And, you know, very last minute, and I'm going to chuck it in there, there was a word this morning that the season we're walking into is one of walking on water. I don't know what that means, but it sounds awesome. I think we just have to look at Jesus and keep walking, and if there's water under our feet, so be it. But that's what we need to do. Keep looking at Jesus, guys. Don't look at the things around you. Don't look at the obstacles. Be encouraged, church. I'm so glad there's so many of you here today. Honest to goodness, there's been a few weeks where there's been a few, no numbers, but I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm so glad that we're celebrating together. I love you all very much, and I just want you to be encouraged. Know that you're incredible people. You're awesome. God loves you so much. You're a part of his plan. Agree with him. Agree with him that that's the truth, and go and live like that. Just go and live like that. Go. So Heavenly Father, bless us as we enjoy cake. Bless us as we celebrate our birthday. Bless us as we celebrate what you've done in the world, what you're doing in this amazing story that we're a part of. Oh, thank you, God, for just your kindness and your presence. Thank you, God, that you really are just in control. So, Lord God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, guys.